always want to hear from you as we head towards the end of the broadcast. So let's kick this off. Let's go to Tim, who's calling in Texas on line one. Tim, you're on the air.
Last week on Gutfeld, President Trump, which, by the way, I thought was extremely relaxed and one of the best interviews ever seen, I was shocked to see that the polling of Christians, basically born-again evangelical Christians, while they poll really well, they don't go and vote. And I wondered if this is the research that you see as well, and if there's a way that we can improve the messaging that Christians can't just sit on their hands anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we've been engaged in for a long time, saying you've got to get activated, you got to get motivated, regardless of where you land politically. That, you know, be encouraged to get out and vote, whether if in this, look, this broadcast reaches probably a majority evangelical audience still, and I want to encourage people for sure to get engaged in their local elections, get engaged in obviously the presidential elections. Do I think that it's a little disheartening for Christians and sometimes? Sure. Do I think the church is much more split than it once was in terms of engaging, not necessarily in politics, but engaging in culture? Yeah, I think that there's a nerves that goes on within the church. I think also, again, with these polling, I think what you're seeing is a lot of Christians and a lot of people in general just not wanting to engage in the polls.
Right.
They may be getting out there and voting, but they just don't know where their information is going. I know for me, whenever I get a text or an email or even a cold call saying, hey, we want to do a research poll with you right now, which happens quite a bit, I almost always hang up, ignore, do that, because it always feels like that this is a push poll. This is going from somewhere else. I don't know who this source is. We live in a time where your information can be used against you very easily. So I don't do it. So Tim, I think there's some of that as well, but I do encourage people to get engaged in their elections, get engaged in there, especially in the local side of what's happening. You may be disenfranchised by both Trump and Harris and going, well, why do I even want to get out there and vote? But if you really look at the issues, you'll know where to land, and also get engaged in your local.
And I also think, to Tim's point, though, that's been a concern, that is a base you need to activate for decades, our entire life. I mean, the entire reason organizations like the Christian Coalition were founded was to try to engage Christians in the political process and to vote. Yeah. Because many times you can see an issue where a Christian voter may be like, I'm not putting all my chips in the stack of needing the government to provide for me, which I completely understand and agree with, that, you know, God is the one that is my ultimate authority and that will take care of me. But it's also the converse of that, that we have great liberty in this country. And the First Amendment protects our speech, our religion, our right to associate, things of that nature, that it can almost be, I have the First Amendment. I can engage in my faith and my life and my family and those around me, but not understanding the ways that things like we see at this military base, where they're training members of the armed services, that your religious conviction that life begins at conception and that we must protect life could get you labeled by this government and our U.S. military as a potential terrorist. Those are the reasons that Christians need to be engaged in the political process, because while our right to worship as we please may be protected by the Constitution, don't believe for a minute that the nefarious corners of this government aren't looking for ways to take away the way you practice your faith.
Absolutely. We got a call related to that. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Wyoming on line three. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I served in the military, okay?
Thank you.
And I, among others, have wound up being in a position of being, let's say, the odd man out when they assembled a project to be done. And what would happen was that the supervisor would come along and say, hey, look, we've got this situation here where we need somebody to cover it. We'll train you, we'll get you to work in it and take care of it. So as far as I'm concerned, this general, he is part of the train of command, and he should have sent out an order and said, look, remove this instructor from his position, train him in another place where he can be more effective. That should have that would take care of the problem as far as I'm concerned.
And Bill, there's actually more concerning sound. We don't have time to play it, but I'll read you a little excerpt where Chairman Banks presses that lieutenant general even further and asks, has any of the 10,000 soldiers that were misinformed that if you're pro-life or have a pro-life license plate, you're a potential terrorist, have they been told they've been misinformed? His response to the chairman was, in our investigation, based off surveys that we did with the soldiers, none of them, they did not have a misperception about the nature of those organizations. That wasn't the question that was asked by the chairman. He said, did you tell them they were misinformed? And he responds with, no, they have not specifically been told that they were misinformed. So this isn't over. We're going to keep fighting for our client, Operation Rescue, and we're also going to keep pushing against the military to say, look, you're not done. This isn't just something you can sweep under the rug by saying, we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, when you're labeling someone a terrorist, right. It's a bit different than just even saying, hey, these, you know, could be, it's not even saying radicals, it's saying the word terrorists. You know, that's what that graphic showed. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go to Michael, who's calling in Florida online too. Michael, you're on.
Gentlemen. I understand that polling and a political season is pretty fluid. However, I think because the candidates, the choice is really stark in between A and B. But when it comes to polling, and call me a cynic or at very least a skeptic, is there one or two polling?
Sure.
Charts that you would at least feel reasonably.
Michael, I don't know about specific polling charts, but there are some that create averages.
Well, that's why like Real Clear Politics, they do an average of the polls. Honestly, when you look back at even the last election, the most accurate polls missed it by 2%. So that's still a margin of error, and they can claim that. Look, we put in the margin of error. But yeah, there is not a single poll that anyone should look at and be like, that's the one. Yeah. That one nailed it, because typically they don't.
Right.
So you look at these aggregate polls or even people that do analysis of polls. Nate Silver has for a long time been kind of the superstar of that, but he gets bashed by all sides. But I think that really at the end of the day, you shouldn't believe the polls at all. You should vote your convictions and go and show up and tell your friends to show up and go vote for who you believe should be the best person to lead the country. And for your congresspeople, your secretaries of state, we know how they've been meddling in these elections recently by trying to get people on and off ballots. You have that ability in this country to affect change and to talk to people. Do it while you can.
All right. Hey, let's quickly take John in Texas. John, you got like 20 seconds because we are running out of time. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, primarily I was talking about the presidential debate. Why would he weaken himself by not accepting the challenge with Kamala, rather put her on the defensive by saying, look, you pick the network, CNN, fine. I'll pick the moderators and let her say why she won't do it.
I mean, that's an interesting,
much stronger.
Yeah, I'm only cutting you off, John, because we're running out of time. It's an interesting idea. Unfortunately, that's not really how it works, and it's not how it's going to happen. She turned down a Fox News debate. He was offered a CNN debate. It's just very clear. The handwriting is on the wall of why they want to do it in certain ways. And unfortunately, I think you had one debate. I don't believe you're going to get another. We're only, you know, 44 days out.
Well, you also had two debates, and one, President Biden lost so badly, he dropped out.
He had to drop out. So, thank you, John. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thanks to everyone who's watching online. If you're new, like I said, subscribe. We do this show each and every day, live from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can work your way back from there and support the work of the ACLJ. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.